After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it. And now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt, because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me."
Thanks be to God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let me speak a word of thanks to Reagan Bond for sharing with us this great reading of scripture today. Thank you, Reagan. Reagan is one of the newest members of our church. I hope that you remember that on Easter Sunday, she received a remembrance of her baptism and was confirmed in this place. What a wonderful thing to have her read that scripture for us. I'll remind all that are gathered here that this is Family First Sunday and that this sermon is particularly intended for children of all ages, but children. And so you'll pick up on that, hopefully, as we move into it. In all of Scripture, this has got to be one of my very favorite stories. This story about Jesus's disciples and how after Jesus was raised from the dead, that his followers didn't quite know what to do with themselves. They were at a loss as to where to go and what to be, how to spend their time. Well, now, Jesus appeared to them. He appeared to them and made himself known, but even then, they were hiding behind locked doors. After they got up enough courage to move out from behind those locked doors, even then they were unsure as to how to spend their time. They couldn't get it through their heads what to do. So, does anybody remember, and we'll let the younger ones have a chance at this first. So here's a question for you. Does anyone remember what these disciples were doing when they first followed Jesus? Does anybody remember that? I can hear whispering, but I don't hear the answer loud enough. What were they doing when they first started following Jesus? They were fishing. They surely were. They were fishing. Jesus called them to come and to be disciples of his, and he said, I will make you fishers of men. You'll come and follow me, and we'll go out and seek people who need to hear of this good news. And here at the end of their life, Peter is saying, at the end of this story, he is saying, I'm going fishing. I'm going fishing. And the rest of those disciples that were around Peter, they said, I'm going fishing too. And so they all went and got in a boat and headed out to fish. Now, when I go fishing, I like to go in the morning or maybe in the evening, but never at night. I cannot imagine getting into a boat and staying in a boat all through the night and fishing. I wouldn't be able to tell very much what to do. It would be a little bit frightening, but it especially would make a long, long night. I want to be sleeping when night gets here. And the fish, I don't care what the fish are doing at nighttime. These fish evidently were busy with doing something else because they fished all night long and they caught absolutely nothing. When it was morning and the sun was just barely coming up so that you could see just the edges of the trees and you could see just a glint of sparkle on the water, they were beginning to wind things up. They knew that they had not been successful in their fishing. And yet there was someone that was standing on the shore who called out to them. They didn't know who it was. We know who it is. Who was it? It was Jesus. And Jesus called out and said, cast your nets over on the right side of the boat. And they decided, well, it's worth a try. And so they did that. And their net was so full, they could not pull it back in. In fact, as the story is told here in this gospel, there were 153 fish in the net. That is a lot of fish. Now, I have caught a lot of fish before, but never have I caught 153 large fish at the same time. I saw a video. That's one of the things I like to do in the evening if I have a chance, is to watch YouTube videos, especially fishing videos. And I saw a video of a man in South America who went fishing at night. That's what he liked to do. But he had a light that he put up over his boat. And in this video, you know what the fish did? When he turned that light on, the fish just began jumping into his boat. I couldn't believe it. And I thought, now that's a trick. Those fish don't know what's going on and they're just trying to get to the light. And he had it all just planned out. I believe if he had kept the light on, they finally would have sunk that boat. It was a lot of fish that were jumping into the boat. Here, I don't think it was a trick at all. I think Jesus was just meaning to bless those disciples. They were there, and their nets were empty. With all of that trying, all that they had done, they were unsuccessful. They hadn't caught a fish. And Jesus loved them, and he wanted to make them a part of something that was successful. I'm looking at the adults now here in this place and wanting to make sure that they get the message. They don't always get the message. Children, you know that, don't you? They don't always get the message. John said to Peter, when that net was so full, he said, "It is the Lord." And Peter could not help himself. He went swimming to get to where Jesus was. And when he arrived there, it was interesting to me that when he arrived at the shore, Peter saw that Jesus was cooking breakfast, already waiting on Peter in order to share what he had. And why was it the case that he was doing this? Not because he was hungry so much. This was Jesus resurrected from the dead. He didn't have to have food, but he loved Peter, and he loved those disciples. So he was cooking breakfast. They had a big, big breakfast. And oh, how it was the case that Jesus looked at them, and they didn't quite know that it was Jesus. They thought, maybe it's Jesus, but there was something that looked different about him. I don't know what that was, but not a single one of them asked the question, "Who are you?" Because something in their heart told them that this was the Lord. But Peter was worried, and in fact, he was ashamed, because he had done something that was not right. Do any of the children remember what he had done that he was ashamed of? Can you remember what he had done? Adults, be quiet. Do any of the children remember what Peter had done? Okay, now adults, you can speak. He had denied even knowing Jesus. After Jesus was arrested and he was taken to the temple area where there was a court that was about to begin, there Peter was in a courtyard, and there were several people that asked him, "Aren't you related to Jesus? Weren't you in his group? Didn't you know him?" And every time he said, "No, I didn't know anything about what was going on. I didn't know him. I'm not connected with Jesus." And there was a sign that Jesus had said was going to happen. There was a rooster that crowed, and Peter knew that he had done something that was so, so terrible. But here, as he was visiting with Jesus beside the sea, he began to say to himself, maybe something can be made right. Sometimes when you've done something wrong, it just haunts you like a ghost. You carry it with you for so long. I knew a man, I talked with him, he had done something that was wrong. And through tears, he said to me, "I have made this terrible error in what I've done. I've made this mistake, and it has done so much damage on so many levels in my life. And I believe that Peter was like that. He was in a terrible place. But you know what? God is persistent to love us, to share His love with us in our need. So Jesus switched the conversation with Peter, and he began talking about sheep. Do any of you remember that Reed Thompson a while back brought a sheep into this sanctuary? What a fascinating day that was when Reed just walked down the aisle carrying this lamb in his arms, and how he reminded us by that sheep's presence here that sheep require a lot of care and assistance. They don't get along well by themselves because they're always bound to wander off or to get to some place where they don't have enough food. And yet Jesus speaking to Peter, began to engage him in thinking about sheep. Every time that Jesus looked at Peter, he asked, "Do you love me?" In fact, the first time that he asked Peter this question, he said, "Do you love me more than these?" And it doesn't say exactly what Jesus was talking about. I almost wonder if he was not asking Peter, "Do you love me more than these fish?" You know, some people like to fish so much, they don't love anything else but going fishing. Now, don't take any offense here, some of you that are in this place, but you love fishing more than you love anything else, right? Could it be that he was saying, "Do you love fishing more than these? Maybe more than all of the hardware that it takes to go fishing?" I'm thinking to myself, Sue may not even know this, but I'm thinking maybe a boat is in my future, you know, maybe. But I keep asking myself, do I love that more than I love anything? And I wonder also, maybe Jesus was saying, do you love these disciples that are around you? Do you love these disciples around you more than you love Jesus? And we can get into very, very difficult places when we put the attention on anyone but Jesus. Jesus is persistent and reaches out to Peter, and he asks him, "Do you love me?" And Peter says, "You know I love you, Lord." And Jesus says over and over again, "I want you to feed my sheep." And so, you know this, don't you? It's all about love. Every bit of this is about love. Let me hear you say it. Katie, you're on the front row. You got to say it really loud. It's all about love. Can you say that? It is. It is. Now, let's get everybody to say it, okay? Let's get everybody to say it. It's all about love. It is. It's all about love. Jesus reaching out to Peter and out to the disciples and trying to share his love with them in order that they would share their love with others. Now, when we come to this table of communion, I want you to remember that this is what God is about. Through Jesus especially, Jesus is always sharing this deep love in order that we too might share it with others. Let us come to this table of grace.